Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story of Ruth is a story of redemption. Remember, all throughout this series, we have been looking at the stories of individuals in the Bible, because it is in their stories that we see God's story. And if there is one theme in the story of the God revealed in the Bible, it is redemption. But what exactly is redemption? It's not a terribly uncommon word, but the meaning at times is a bit slippery. We all know that coupons can be redeemed, but that seems to be a slightly different thing than what we're talking about in Ruth. If you watch a lot of sports, you might hear the announcer say that a particular athlete has just redeemed himself on a play. There, it usually means that they've made up for something wrong that they did earlier in the game. If you've watched the Cubs a lot this year, you've seen a lot of wrong and not a lot of redemption. It's also a word that is kind of churchy. You might hear it in this context in a movie from a few years ago called O Brother, Where Art Thou? There, Delmar, who is played by Tim Blake Harris, tells his buddies, "Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher's done washed away all my sins and transgressions. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven's my everlasting reward." To which Everett, who's played by George Clooney, says, "Delmar, what are you talking about? We got bigger fish to fry." Delmar says, "Well, the preacher says all my sins is washed away, including that Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yaesu." Everett says, "I thought you said you was innocent of those charges." Delmar says, "Well, I was lying. And the preacher says that that sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys. The water's fine." Well, from those examples, it can be tough to tell just what redemption is. It seems to have something to do with forgiveness or getting cleaned up, maybe getting a new chance in life. Maybe Ruth's story can help us out. Ruth's story is complicated. Sometimes I wish I weren't trying to cover all of these people in a single sermon each. But Ruth is a beautiful story. The first chapter that Christy read describes the setting. Naomi is part of a Hebrew family that's living in Moab. They had gone there because of a famine in Israel. You should know that relations between Moab and Israel were not good. This was enemy territory of a sort for an Israelite. But they settle, and Naomi's sons marry Moabite women. And Ruth is one of Naomi's Moabite daughters-in-law. After 10 years, Naomi's husband Elimelech and both of her sons are dead. And so Naomi decides to go back to Israel. Ruth, her also widowed daughter-in-law, decides to accompany her. Now, Naomi is in trouble, probably more trouble than we could possibly imagine. This is a very traditional society, and in a traditional society, family is most important. And she has none. Her husband has died. Her two sons have died. How will Naomi support herself when she gets back to Israel? She's heard that there is food there now, that the famine is over. But how will this work? She can't work in the fields. She's too old. She can't get married. She's too old for that. She's not going to have her children support her. Both of her sons are dead. She can't even rent out the family land. That's been sold. They sold it when they went to Moab. She has nothing. She's a nobody. She is going to be completely reduced to begging. This is why when she gets back to Bethlehem, she tells the other women in town to call her Mara. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. She doesn't think there's any hope. But by the end of the story, Ruth is married to Boaz. They have a child. Naomi is a doting grandmother. Both Ruth and Naomi have an entirely new life. Maybe that's a good way to describe redemption. It is receiving a new life. So how did it happen? Who redeemed her? One of the words that is central in this book is goel. Sometimes it's translated as redeemer. Sometimes it's translated as next of kin or kinsman. Sometimes you see it as kinsman redeemer. But what it means is this. In the Hebrew culture of the day, a close relative could fulfill obligations to and for the survivors of somebody who died. This could involve the purchase of a deceased relative's land so that the property would stay in the clan. Could also include producing an heir for the widow of a relative. This was called leveret marriage. Now remember, this is a society where family is the absolute primary institution. Now it seems a bit odd to us, a bit strange, but this idea of a kinsman redeemer is a mechanism, an institution in the law meant to provide for familial and social and economic stability, to prevent the destitute from falling through the cracks. And Boaz turns out to be this redeemer for Ruth. That's what we see is going on in chapter 3. This is where the reading gets a little bit confusing and could be a bit salacious. The commentaries, when they talk about this scene on the threshing floor, are all over the place. It's this whole uncovering Boaz's feet business. Some of the commentaries believe that this is a kind of sexual metaphor. One even says that you should never preach on Ruth 3. Well, I've never been one to shy away from hard texts, and besides, by the time I saw that, I could already hear Pam in the office folding the bulletins. Other commentaries say that it's just a way to get Boaz to wake up because of his cold feet and then to see Ruth. The text really doesn't clarify exactly what happens in the threshing floor. But the end result is that Boaz decides to marry Ruth, and in doing so, he becomes her redeemer. Boaz takes on the debts of Ruth's and Naomi's family to get the land back. He pays the debts off. But that's not all he does. When he marries Ruth, immediately, because she's now his wife, she receives a share of his wealth. Boaz was described as a prominent rich man, and Ruth goes from no status to high status immediately. She goes from illegal alien to wife of the town big shot. She goes from being penniless to being rich. Ruth receives an entirely new life. She is redeemed. There's more redemption here than just Boaz redeeming Ruth. Remember, it's the book of Ruth, not the book of Boaz. The writer is trying to get us to see that not only does Boaz redeem Ruth in that formal, legal sort of way, but also that Ruth, in a way, redeems Naomi. The point is pretty explicit in the last part of our reading, where it describes Naomi's daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons. Remember that it's a family-based society and a male-dominated one. And seven sons is shorthand for the perfect family. And it says that Ruth is more to Naomi than seven sons. But also look at chapter 1. When Naomi decides to go back to Bethlehem, Ruth and her other daughter-in-law, Orpah, both go along for a while. Then Naomi says, you know, you both stay here in Moab. You have family here, and this is home, and you could marry again. She says, even if I found a new husband, which I won't, even if I could have children, which I can't. What are you going to do? Wait until they grow up and then marry them? So they all cry together, and then Orpah takes the sensible choice and goes back home. But it says Ruth clings to Naomi. She tells Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. When you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." Do you see Ruth's commitment to Naomi? It's a move of complete self-sacrifice for Ruth. She basically gives up her life out of faithfulness to Naomi. It's only through this commitment by Ruth to her that Naomi has any shot at any kind of a life. Ruth gives up all that she could have had back in Moab. She impoverishes herself. She leaves the familiar and goes out, not really knowing where she's going. She's willing to sacrifice her life so that Naomi will have one. And you see it throughout. Because of Ruth's gleaning, Naomi has something to eat. Because of Ruth's finding and marrying Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, Naomi now has security and an heir and a grandson. Because of Ruth's faithfulness to her, she is no longer penniless and destitute, but has received a new life. By Ruth's clinging to her, by promising that not even death will separate them, Naomi's life is restored and redeemed. At different points in your life, you might identify with different people in this story. Who do you identify with? I know there's at least one English teacher out there. With whom do you identify? Do you identify with Boaz? Has God blessed you with the wherewithal to be a blessing to friends and family who are around you? We don't do it through levirate marriage today, but surely many of us have opportunities to offer some kind of redemption to those around us. If you see yourself in Boaz's story, how is God writing his story with you? Are you as faithful to those around you as Boaz is? One pastor asked it in a way that I find very compelling. Who knows more about God's grace because of your life? Or do you identify better with Ruth? Have you taken a risk to provide some measure of redemption for a person close to you who had nothing? Have you left something behind, maybe even a chance at a normal life, to say, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay," to somebody who had nothing else? It could be you think that you have nothing to offer. It's easy to look at Ruth and think that she had nothing to offer either. But look at what Ruth does give. She gives her presence. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. You may think that you have nothing to offer others. But look at Ruth. You can be there. Ruth has very little, but she does what four other people, Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and Orpah, could not or would not do. She stays. You can stay when everyone else is leaving. Or maybe right now you identify with Naomi. Maybe you feel like you should also be called Mara, or bitter. Maybe you faced similar things as Naomi, losing a spouse or a child. Maybe you are shut out by society from any way of supporting yourself. Now, it is true that if you are in the middle of a period of deep suffering, if you have lost hope and are bitter, then it may not seem all that helpful to hear somebody tell you to look on the bright side, that God can work some small measure of redemption out of the problems in your life. It's true that you can usually only see those graces by looking back after your suffering is over. And when Ruth was clinging to Naomi, Naomi was probably worried that now she'd have yet another mouth to feed, another person to worry about. And maybe where you are right now, the small measures of grace and redemption that those around you can offer just don't seem like enough. You might be asking, is that really redemption? Is that a new life? And maybe you're right. Maybe that's not enough. I mean, after all, look at the place where Ruth is in the canon, in the scriptures. You know, the order that you learned in Sunday school. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. This story is a blessing. When you read Judges, you realize that there didn't seem to be much grace or redemption in all of Israel at that time. And you see that this story of Ruth is a glimmer of hope in God's larger story. But then in 1 and 2 Samuel, things are bad again. We have Eli, the priest, whose sons are described as scoundrels who had no regard for the Lord. But that's not all there is with Ruth. This is more than just a breath of fresh air where you see people being faithful to one another. I want you to see where else this story of Ruth points. Look at where the end of the book, chapter 4, points. Verse 17, the son they had, they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. And then just so you don't miss it, they say it again. Perez, the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, and so on, all the way down to Jesse again, the father of David. I know that everyone complains that when they, especially in the Old Testament, they start seeing all these begats. But there's usually something important in them. Remember that all of this happens in Bethlehem. Obed becomes an ancestor to David. And through David, we eventually get to the Redeemer, Jesus. Born to Mary and Joseph centuries later, right there in Bethlehem, a descendant of David. But it's not just the genealogy. It's not just tacked on at the end as if they forgot about it and then caught it in a second version. Don't we see it throughout? Remember Boaz? Boaz takes on the debts of Naomi's family to get the land back. He pays the debts off. When he marries Ruth immediately, because she's now his wife, she receives all this wealth. She receives a new life. She's been redeemed. Jesus, our Redeemer, takes the debts of sin that you and I owe and pays them off. Jesus, our Redeemer, unites with you and me in baptism so that all of his wealth becomes ours. Paul says in Romans 8 that we are children of God and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We go from being penniless to being wealthy beyond belief. You and I go from having no status before God because of our sin and brokenness to having the ultimate status with God. In 1 John it says, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And it's not just Boaz. Don't forget about Ruth. Ruth also redeems. Ruth also points to Christ, too. Remember, if Naomi was to have a life, Ruth had to be willing to throw hers away. She gave up all hope that she had for a normal life back in Moab. Jesus gave his life so that you and I can have a new life. Ruth impoverished herself, leaving the familiar and going out, not really knowing where she's going. Jesus left heaven with the Father for us. Though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave being born in human likeness. Ruth told Naomi that not even death would separate them. And Jesus was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of this, we know that nothing, not death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is a more true and better Boaz, a more true and better Ruth. Jesus is the perfect Redeemer. Don't you see, God is writing his story of the redemption, the salvation of the world. He writes that story in the stories of the people that we find on the pages of the Bible. He writes that story in the lives of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. He writes that story in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, the Christ child born in Bethlehem. He writes that story in your life too. Have you seen it? Are you ready to receive it? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.